This is Wednesday morning. I want to take you, as I said before, when the Lord said about four seasons, he was really pushing my buttons about planting and harvesting. So I wrote down what he pressed in, which is, in the seasons, our God is showing a time to plant. And the word Passover. Then first fruits, Pentecost. Harvest time is tabernacles. And this is what I heard, even in the shower. An example is Naaman, chief captain of Ben-Hadad, healed of leprosy by Elisha. And we'll find that in Luke 4:27, when our Savior is verifying. So if you'll quickly just take a peek at Luke chapter 4, verse 27. He is teaching right after he went through his time in the desert, and he's in his hometown. So I think it's important to realize that all the people that he's speaking to are his people, the people he grew up with, the people he worked for, etc., etc. So, verse 23, he's responding. Well, maybe we'll back it up to 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. So they might not have seen him for a while, but now, you know, they're talking. And he responds in 23, surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. So there's already gossip going on. Capernaum is not that far away, but the people from his hometown know about it. I tell you the truth, he continues. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. So he's really giving them a heads up. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elisha's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. That was Elijah's time, I'm sorry. The sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, which is a different country, in the region of Sidon. 27 is the point that I wanted to bring out to you. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman the Syrian. Certainly Syria has been in the news enough that it gives you a clue. Amen? So now he's saying there were many in Israel with leprosy. That would be saying to us today, there were many in the church with leprosy, sickness and disease of all types. Yet the prophet of the Lord was not sent or used by them. Why?
They weren't looking for him. For him.
Or had they judged them?
Or they wasn't welcome.
So I said to the Lord, what do you want me to go forward with? And he pointed out, and I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing, but I am switching over to the Amplified. Okay? because that was his instruction. So I won't disobey. I want to go right to where he told me to go. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. What I heard in my heart before we go into it was that this prophet pointed out to this man that was in high esteem throughout Syria, that he didn't want any gifts from him. That it wasn't the season to receive. Okay? And I don't know exactly which verse that is, but we'll get to it. So the point that I'm getting at is God's looking at the year as a block, and there's a season to plant first fruits. Happens to be at Pentecost, where there's the barley harvest, and that's the starting of something. Tabernacles is the fulfillment of the year, but it's also speaking of the entire reality of Jesus' return. When he was planted into the ground, which was part of the vision last night, that empty cave, Who had that vision?
I did.
You did. No, oh, I'll Susan hit you again, right?
Oh, Susan, with the light?
The empty cave.
I'm sorry.
The angel's feather, though.
The angel's feather.
Over the
angel's wing, I mean.
Right.
Behind it was an empty cave.
Oh.
Behind it was an empty cave. But the other part was...
Susan saw light.
Saw a light
into a cave.
Right. And then it was... Wasn't there more to it?
No.
It was a white path. A white road.
And then the presence went in. That was
she
right.
She said usually she sees light like this.
But yeah, but it went in.
This time it's the first time she'd seen it horizontal.
Horizontal. But it was in a cave.
Yeah,
it was
into
going into a cave.
Huh?
Pardon? Didn't she go into the cave?
Oh, I don't remember her saying she
said it was going into a cave.
It was right. The white light was going in.
Yeah.
But... Deborah had something too, didn't she, about a cave? And it was like the resurrection, the point, you know. For to me, it was like there was an awareness that God planted his son as a first fruit.
Yeah, Deborah had Mary is in a tunnel walking in his whirlwind.
Oh, that's right.
So that's a tunnel.
But what was the second one?
Walking in his whirlwind. I didn't get a second one.
Okay. All right. What I was perceiving, anyway, that he was pushing into my heart is we need to look at these as a timing for the Lord's people to release whatever needs to be planted. We're planting the word. We're taking the time to plant the words in our hearts. But there's going to be a harvest of this.
Hallelujah.
Okay? It's not just planting seeds into the ground and expect no harvest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's not a farmer that goes out and puts those potatoes in or cucumber seeds or whatever with really expecting zero. That's totally stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But God is the same way. So Naaman in chapter 5, commander of the army of the king of Syria, he's not just an average yo-yo, was a great man. You like that?
Yo-yo, I did.
Okay.
Not an average yo-yo. He was not a superior
yes.
yo-yo.
Accepted and acceptable because by him the Lord had given victory in Syria. So in other words, he was a general. Mm-hmm. He was also a mighty man of valor.
Right.
He wasn't a nobody. He had value to the nation. but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. And a little maid, this is the part that I love, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, now you go, you got listening, all right? Would that the Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his king, thus and thus said the maid from Israel. So she's got a history, and the king is going to hear about it from the man of valor, but it's because of the maid, a little servant girl. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. He wasn't going cheap. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. It said, when this letter comes to you, I will with it have sent you my servant Naaman, personalized to the king, that you may cure him of leprosy. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends to me to heal a man of his leprosy? Just consider and see how he is seeking to quarrel with me. So what kind of an anointing is on the king? I'll leave it alone.
Guilty.
When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, because the gossip goes right through, doesn't it? He sent to the king asking, why have you rent your clothes? Let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So now you can see the boldness in the man of God. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at Elisha's door. Pay good attention to this part. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Was that clear?
Yeah. Where's the laying on of hands?
Not happening. But Naaman was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely, and I want you to put a circle around thought. Because you and I have that same problem.
No.
I'll hit you again. I thought he should surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hands over the place and heal the leper.
Make a show of
it. He wanted it done his way.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
And the man of God had to respect him. Right? Come out and make a show.
Right.
Do all the
with the full fanfare.
Right.
Okay.
My soldiers are here with me and.
Right. Plus, I got all this money with me. I'm ready to pay.
It's like $11 million, I think.
Are not.
I think so.
Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the water in Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. Notice, if you don't put a circle around in a rage, there's a problem. Anger.
Yeah.
Is a killer.
Yes, it is. I know.
Rage will kill you.
Amen.
Where is it coming from? Is it coming from your spirit?
No.
Sorry.
It's coming from your mind, your will, your emotions, the soul, in full control. And his servant came near, verse 13, and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had bid you to come to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" Notice again, it's his servant. The nobody.
That's greater wisdom.
The lowly little kid that's helping him, giving him words to straighten him up. Amen? "Wash and be clean." 14. "Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan." I can just hear what his mind is saying.
Yeah. This is a lot of two.
And PO'd to the max. I can't describe it any other way. Just, I'm doing this because this darn servant is on my case.
Six. Isn't that enough? Come on.
Yeah. And if you've ever seen the Jordan, it is mud.
Yes.
It's not pretty.
It is not pretty. "As the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child." Restored. Recreated. And he was clean. Then Naaman returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and stood before him. Now the man of God is receiving him. He said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." So he's now awake. "So now, accept a gift from your servant." Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will accept none." You better circle that one.
That was 16. He's not going to accept payment for healing.
God can't be bought.
"I will accept none," and he urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. And you need to keep that in mind, because that's the word that came in that crazy experience this morning in the shower. Why, Lord? He said, "You don't understand. My prophet was prophesying to you." And I said, "Oh." In other words, there's a season when God says, "Now it's time to plant." Passover is a season of planting.
Yes,
sir. It's not a season to harvest.
No.
And here, the prophet is very aware of this, maybe better than any of us, because he's got that Jewish background. He knows when it's time to put something into the ground, spiritually as well as physically. And I'm not out for an offering this morning, so just don't go there, please. But you got the point? Because again,
Amen.
What you said yesterday was very important. There is a time to plant.
Amen.
I have no doubt about that. And that's what he was confirming to me, which balances things out. Naaman said then, "I pray you, let there be given to me, your servants, two mules, burdens of earth. For your servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifices to other gods, but only to the Lord." Only to the Lord. So now, I like this because of the human aspect being respected. 18. "In this thing the Lord pardon your servant. When my master the king goes into the house of his God," and it should be marked his God. If you don't circle that, you're in trouble. "Ramon has a name. To worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramon. When I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardon your servant in this thing." Grace, compassion, favor, and mercy all lined up into one. Understanding that this guy says, I want to make sure that I will be able to survive what I'm doing because I'm doing it under duress. There are times that you're going to be asked to do things to satisfy the natural realm, to satisfy the political realm, or the powers that be, and God will give you the grace and the favor to carry it out because of grace and favor. Elijah said to him, go in peace. You better put go in peace with a circle. So Naaman departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master spares this Naaman, the Syrian. So you can see his heart. He doesn't deserve to be spared. Is not receiving from his hand what he brought. So actually, Gehazi has already seen the gold, the silver, the clothes. Amen? But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him.
Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord.
I could use a few bucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he lighted down. So he came off his horse, right? From the chariot, or actually his buggy here, to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me to say, there's the big lie.
He's a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
He deserves what he gets. The fire's coming later.
Yes.
There have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim two young men and the sons of the prophet. Pray give me a talent of silver. Woo-hoo. And two changes of garments. So he's got his eyes on the goods. Mm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Naaman said, be pleased to take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver, two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them unto two of his servants, and they bore them before Gehazi. When he came to the hill, he took them into their hand, from their hands, and put them in the house. Notice he put them in the house. And he sent the men away, and they left. They had done what he wanted. He went in and stood before his master, Elisha. Where have you been, Gehazi? He said, your servant went nowhere.
Lying, lying,
lying. Unbelievable. Oh, my word.
Elisha said to him, did not my spirit go with you? And you better underline my spirit go with you. When the man turned from his chariot to meet you, was it a time to accept money? Again, identify that area. Garments, olives, orchards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, and maid servants. So you can see here, he's accustomed to receiving all of those that he's listed. But it's not the time. There's been a restriction placed on him. Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and to your offspring forever. That part I overwhelm.
Wow.
Yeah. And Gehazi went from his presence, a leper, as white as snow.
As white as snow. I remember Pastor Gino saying that. All the time.
Yeah.
White as snow.
Yeah. Verse 1 of chapter 6. The sons of the prophets said to Elisha, look now and place the place where we live before you is the small of us. Let us go to Jordan, each man, and get there a house beam, and let us make a place where we may dwell. And he answered, go. One said, be pleased to go with your servant. He answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees, etc. When I saw all this and going back to normal stuff, there is more involved as far as the king and so on and so forth that goes on.
Do you feel that the Lord was telling you that Elijah was planting a seed then? Is that what you feel? In the heart of Naaman?
I believe that he was teaching him indirectly about when to put gifts to the prophet. Plus, he wanted him to know, in my understanding, from what the Lord was pressing into me, is there are seasons when we can take a offering and it is on time and it is correct.
Amen.
And God will honor that because he's spoken us. Now, this morning, I got I read it this morning, that Jezreel sent out a little pamphlet and I received it. And of course, on Tuesday, or Monday rather, Pastor Jay pointed out that he's on their ministry team or whatever, he's one of the elders there. And so what I was looking at is when we were pressed of God when the hurricane had hit Louisiana and all those people were in deep trouble, we put out a basket. And we asked for an offering, and I don't know how much we sent, but I know it was several hundred dollars, because the people gave, and that was a definite time of planting a seed. And the, you know, Pastor Jay had told me, Jezreel is a trustworthy group. I'd never know, you know, 20 years or 10 years later, how many years he's been away or on that team, I don't know. But what I do believe is that when we do have a press, it's time to obey. When you and I have a press to plant a seed, it is that same season where God is saying, now you plant it, not just because you want a harvest. Because again, we all have that control tactic, no different than Gehazi. I don't want that prayer. I don't want that to happen to me. Okay? So what I believe is that the Holy Spirit is so faithful, being so that we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants done in the season that he wants it done. Do we say we don't take up an offering in the fall? That's silly. You know, we take up an offering whenever that moment speaks. But it also says that there were control forces. This servant that he had was far from being a servant to him for the purposes of God. Gehazi had his own plan. Mm. But how big it backfired. Mm. How big the identity was that this man and his future, because it's not just him, his future would have the leprosy. That's bad. Mm. His children.
It reminds me of your story of Gino totally refusing to obey.
Yes. And God would have to take the guy that's down in Rhode Island with five kids to support, drive all the way up here and go to the hospital and give him the word. Mm. Okay? It's kind of ironic because in this particular Bible, I have Gino's card in memory of. And
when did he pass?
September 9th, 2000. So it's going to be 17 years.
17 years.
Then Mr. Gino passed?
Yeah. He was my pastor for 20 years. So how and why does God do these things? The people that showed up on Sunday, you know, that's their uncle. Or great uncle. And the following morning, because of the report that came, I'm sure, the oldest daughter called, and I had almost 2 hours with her on the phone. And her husband is in a very challenged space. So God knows these things. He does them well. He does them well. He does